This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Some homes evacuated because of a gas leak in West Wichita. We've got the story.
Kansas Senate President is considering a 2020 run for the U.S. Senate. I'm Dan O'Neill.
The job picture is improving for Wichita and Kansas. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. Another nice day for us in south central Kansas, but a storm system coming in from the west will bring us wet weather by the end of the week. Our full forecast is coming up in just a few minutes.
Democrats move forward with spending measures meant to end the partial government shutdown, but with no concessions to fund a border wall.
The House passing a measure Wednesday that would reopen parts of the government, including the Treasury and IRS. Democratic Caucus Chair Hakeem Jeffries predicting a double-digit number of Republicans would support the effort. In the end, only 8 did. Meanwhile, President Trump's advisors say moving the bills forward without an agreement on border security is, quote, unacceptable, recommending the president veto the measures. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is warning Senate Republicans if they do not pass House-approved bills, they'll be, quote, complicit in the chaos and cruelty of the Trump shutdown. In Washington, Sean Langel, Fox News.
Residents in West Wichita were allowed back into their homes following a gas leak last evening. This happened just before 6 p.m. at 151st Street and West Maple. Wichita Fire Battalion Chief Michael Russell says a construction worker was digging and hit a gas line.
They went in on one side of 151st Street and were boring underneath the street and coming up on the other side. And somewhere in the process, the line got struck.
Fire crews gave the all clear later, even though some residual odor remained in the neighborhood.
Kansas Senate President Susan Weigel says she's considering running for the U.S. Senate in 2020 and plans to form an exploratory committee.
Weigel told the Wichita Eagle Wednesday that she's taking a serious look at the race. Kansas Senator Pat Roberts announced last Friday he will not seek re-election. Weigel is the latest prominent Republican to express an interest. State Treasurer Jake LaTurner announced his candidacy Tuesday. Departing Governor Jeff Collier, Attorney General Derek Schmidt, and Representative Roger Marshall are also considering the race. Weigel is from Wichita and has served in the legislature since 1991. She will finish her second four-year term as Kansas Senate President in 2020 and has said she won't seek another. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
The job picture is improving for Wichita and Kansas. Wichita State University's Center for Economic Development and Business Research has released an updated Kansas employment forecast. The center's director, Jeremy Hill, tells KNSS News.
We expect employment to continue to grow. We have like 0.9%, almost 1% for Wichita, and a little over 1% for Kansas. And a lot of the doom and gloom that's going on nationally and globally, but we're still pretty strong about our employment growth.
Hill says manufacturing is driving growth in Wichita with recent announcements that Spirit AeroSystems is adding hundreds of jobs.
In California, a massive teachers strike has been pushed back to Monday. That gives parents a few more days to figure out what to do with their kids.
The teachers union is furious, holding angry press conferences over the school district's stance when it concerns funding. Not just their salaries, but more staff and more teachers to help reduce class sizes. UTLA LAUSD salary point person Ingrid Gunnell says it does come down to money.
Teachers are still struggling since the recession. I voted to give up part of our salary during the recession to keep class sizes as low as possible and to keep services for our students. We still have not made up that money.
School Superintendent Austin Buettner says reserve money is being used for unions' demands, but paying for everything they want would require $3 billion more dollars that they simply don't have. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has made an unannounced stop in Iraq in an attempt to calm nerves of regional allies in the wake of President Trump's decision to withdraw troops from Syria. Secretary assures Iraqi Kurdish leaders that the U.S. is committed to protecting Syrian Kurds.
These have been folks that have fought with us, and it's important that we do everything we can to ensure that those folks that fought with us are protected. And Erdogan has made commitments. He understands that, he uses the language he talks about, he has no beef with the Kurds. We want to make sure that that's the case, and I'm confident that as Ambassador Jeffries and others travel through the region in the days ahead, we'll make real progress on that.
U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton recently said the U.S. would only leave Syria if Turkey pledged not to attack Kurdish allies in the region. KNSS News time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
College basketball action last night in Lawrence and Manhattan. We'll get you an update on the Jayhawks and the Wildcats and how those games went last night coming up in sports.
New study has some interesting findings about who is sharing the most fake news on social media. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. 8:08 now, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Police in Lawrence, Kansas, say 8 months after a woman died of a head injury, investigators have not determined whether she was the victim of a crime. Sabrina Frock died in May at the home of a Lawrence man she met online. The man currently is in prison after violating probation for abusing another woman he met online 2 years ago. Frock's mother, Denise Slaughter of Brookfield, Missouri, says she suspects foul play and is frustrated with the Lawrence police investigation.
A new law takes effect today in Pennsylvania. It raises the penalties for invading someone's privacy with a drone.
Channeling your inner peeping Tom with a drone in Pennsylvania just became illegal. A new law makes it illegal to use a drone to spy or videotape someone in a private place in that state. A first offense will be graded as a summary, with subsequent violations classified as a third-degree misdemeanor, punishable by up to 90 days in prison and a fine of $5,000. There are some exceptions to the law. Law enforcement, first responders, utility company workers, and some government employees can still use drones in their official duties. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
A new study has some interesting findings about who is sharing the most fake news on social media.
Researchers say Americans over 65 and ultra-conservative shared about 7 times more fake information on Facebook than younger adults and super liberals during the last presidential election. The first major study looking at who shared links from debunked websites found not many people are doing it. Researchers from Princeton University and New York University find on average 1 in 12 people shared false information during the 2016 campaign. Rich Dennison, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
A traffic update here on your Thursday morning commute. During the past half hour, we've had crews on the scene of an injury traffic accident reported at Wichita Northwest High School. We also had some sort of a traffic-related issue. Checking that out, northwest of Mays. It's on Highway K-96 near 183rd West. Traffic update, Steve and Ted, KNSS.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Another quiet day for us across south central Kansas, although a few clouds will mix in with sunshine, our high near 50. As a storm system arrives from the west, we cloud up and a few scattered showers possible toward tomorrow morning, our low 37. Occasional rain tomorrow, Friday's high near 40. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy sky, south wind at 9 miles per hour and 31 degrees, just one notch below freezing out there. 8:11 with Steve and Ted here on this Thursday morning, January 10th, 2019. Had a pretty nice day, sunny day at least yesterday in south central Kansas. High temperature was 48 degrees. The normal high for the date is 42. So today we're going to be still above normal. Then tomorrow, sinking down the other way. By this time tomorrow, Ted, we could have some traffic to tell you about because the weather is going to be kind of wet tomorrow morning, it looks like, from what we can tell in our forecast there. It took some police work to catch a burglary suspect who had broken into a closed Florida police substation and ate an officer's chicken dinner. But not a lot of police work. Detectives didn't need to do things like, you know, hair and fibers, fingerprints, DNA from the discarded meat. None of that. All they had to do was check the ID cards the suspect left behind.
Somebody's been sleeping in my substation.
That's right. Police in Boynton Beach say officers arrived for a morning shift at the substation last week, found a broken window and the remains of an officer's dinner. They also found a wallet, which contained the suspect's 2 ID cards. Yikes. And police have taken a 29-year-old Yvalande Jean-Pierre into custody and charged her with burglary. It's a female. And she left her 2 ID cards behind. What was she thinking about?
Obviously she must have had a lot of things on her mind.
Well, obviously she was kind of hungry because, she ate the porridge there, the chicken dinner. Shouldn't she have just gone on and got out of there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. She left behind the crucial evidence.
I feel like she's easily distracted.
2 ID cards. All right, now, an orangutan's a big animal, right? You've seen them. These are the ones with the big fat face, And the arms that are, what, about 8 or 9 feet long?
Mm-hmm.
Gentle-looking animals. They have funny-looking hair that sticks straight up. They look a lot like many human beings you might know. Not considered, I wouldn't think, to be a violent animal. We don't have many orangutan attacks reported, but we do have one today. Seems a volunteer was bitten by an orangutan at a Florida zoo. News outlets report the attack occurred at Jungle Island in Miami. Park released a statement saying an experienced volunteer working with the orangutan enrichment program received an injury that wasn't considered life-threatening. An initial response team and primate keepers responded quickly to render aid. Miami Fire rescue workers transported the volunteer to a local hospital. Now, what would the orangutan enrichment program be? I mean, don't they have a satisfying life already? All they do is
getting
sit around
smoking
and
jackets and caviar,
eating bananas and so forth. Maybe they're teaching them to play Parcheesi or something like that. But yeah, the orangutan enrichment program. What would it do? What would you do to one of these gentle creatures to get that creature to bite you? Unless they just took it in their head, I wonder what this guy tastes like. No explaining the orangutan behavior. There was the famous orangutan in the movies. A Clint Eastwood movie back out several years ago, Every Which Way But Loose.
Yep.
And he was this guy who drove around in a pickup truck getting... Oh, I know what. He was a professional fist fighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd find some guy in a town, and they'd get together and go at it, and people would bet money on him. And this is what he did for a living. And he had a pet orangutan.
His little sidekick was an orangutan.
He sat in the passenger seat in the pickup, and then when he came to a corner, what would he say? Right turn, Clyde.
Yeah, right turn, Clyde.
And Clyde would stick his fist out and knock somebody down, yeah. And then away they'd go. And he did, of course, they got into it with a bunch of motorcycles. You know the movie. But that was an orangutan, and it seemed like a pretty gentle creature to me.
Or that was back in the day when you had a lot of simian buddy movies.
Well,
I mean, you had BJ and the Bear on TV.
Yeah.
You had the Chimp and the Trucker, yeah.
What was it? What was the one that Reagan was in? Something Playtime for
Bonzo.
Bonzo.
Yeah, Bedtime for Bonzo.
Bedtime for Bonzo, yeah. Something like that. I've always been fascinated by monkeys. I always thought I might like to have one, a pet monkey. Do you think it would be, what would that be Intercom's policy if I did come up with a monkey, Ted, and brought it to work?
I don't know if it's in the guidebook or not.
I might as well tell you now. He's a monkey.
There's the late President
Reagan.
Who, you know, he was, I think he was kind of underrated as an actor. I liked a lot of stuff that Ronald Reagan did. But he did have, what a sense of humor, I'm going to tell you. He's a monkey.
Somebody had to do Bedtime for Bonzo.
You don't want to, and you know, you don't want to do show business with animals, right?
You always get upstaged.
Or children, little
All right,
children.
Yeah, you don't always work with get children upstaged. Or animals.
Yeah, I can't remember. Well, anyway, I know what we had. We had one animal on the, well, no, two, with Steve and Ted over the past 21 years. Two of them. You remember who they were? Remember the great big
python? I
remember
python? We had the albino python.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that
I remember that.
Whoa, man. And that guy who was, he was a chunky guy, really
yes.
Muscular. I don't remember why he was here.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
But that was a huge python. And then one day we had somebody on who said they could train. It was a dog training technique.
Yeah, yeah.
And I brought my rat terrier Lucky in. Remember that?
Yes.
And I didn't use their method, but I did find we were trying to teach Lucky how to do something on the air. It didn't go too well. But I did finally learn how to train the dog a little bit. I got Lucky. Of course, he's gone now, but I got him to learn how to sit up. I got him to lie down and roll over. So yeah, you can train him. It takes a while. But I really wouldn't mind having a pet monkey. All right. Gas line cut by a construction worker in West Wichita. You heard that story on our news this morning. Aren't you supposed to call 811 before you do that? I mean, you got that. Is it John Ratzenberger?
Cliff Clavin.
Yeah. Hey, you need to call 811. Apparently, this guy out west.
I guess he didn't do that.
There can't be a lion under there. And it was right under the middle of 151st Street. But everybody's okay. They evacuated the area for a while, but everything's okay now. 8:17 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. It is time for sports with Ted Woodward. And Ted has a lot of basketball to tell us about this morning.
Yeah, we had an interesting night. Home games for KU and K-State. Well, we'll start out with K-State, where a little history was made in Manhattan last night. As the Wildcats took on West Virginia, and it was absolutely a rotten game for K-State in the first 21 minutes of this one. K-State couldn't get anything going in the first half, then fell behind by 21 points early in the second half. But at some point, something happened, and the Wildcats got things juiced up and had a monster second half. Kansas State, in fact, scored 50 points in the second half and came back all the way from 21 points down and beat West Virginia 71-69. As the Mountaineers are still winless in the conference, K-State finally gets its first conference win. Wildcats come back to win down 21 points. That is the biggest comeback win ever in the history of Kansas State men's basketball. 9,500 fans were on hand for that one last night. Senior Barry Brown was a monster. He tied his career high with 6 steals. He had a season-high 29 points, including the go-ahead bucket with under 30 seconds to go. And K-State really valued the basketball. Only 6 turnovers in the entire game for the Wildcats. They forced 17 turnovers against West Virginia. Nice win for the Wildcats last night, and historic win for K-State, as they are now 11-4 on the season. Meanwhile, over in Lawrence, you had a top 25 matchup. 5th-ranked Kansas, 25th-ranked TCU going at it. And the Jayhawks got another win over the Horned Frogs. Good game. You heard it last night. It was on Sports Radio KFH.
Up the court toward Devon. Back to Lawson. Spinning, turning, driving, and hitting. Diedrich Lawson putting on a clinic. And Jamie Dixon all the way out to midcourt calling for a timeout.
Junior Diedrich Lawson had a season-high 31 points, and he talks about that spin move that got him that bucket.
I knew that was back-cutting the whole game, and I was anticipating one earlier, and I just knew I was going to get one. He threw it right there to my St. Devon, gave it up, ran the floor, and he slowed down. And I just asked for it back. He gave it back, and I just made the move.
There you go. Season, like we said, 31 points for Lawson, 14 rebounds, another double-double. He leads the nation in double-doubles.
That what he explained just then, okay? Sounded pretty complicated. He made that decision in about 4/10 of a second.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way basketball works.
Yeah. That's the way you pile up 31 points.
Yeah.
Jayhawks defense also swarming the Horned Frogs, commit 20 turnovers last night. And, of course, KU took advantage of all that.
Yeah.
TCU has never won a game in Lawrence, Kansas.
Wow.
0-8 all time. The Horned Frogs always have a disappointing trip back to Fort Worth after they go to Lawrence.
Long bus
last
ride.
Night was the next chapter in that stanza. KU won that game 77-68, snapping TCU's 9-game winning streak. Jayhawks now 13-2 on the season. Pro basketball in the NBA last night. The Los Angeles Lakers win at home, beat the Detroit Pistons 113-100. Coming off the bench for the Lakers as the 6th man, former Kansas State Wildcat Michael Beasley, 19 points in only 18 minutes. He was lighting it up last night
on
the bench for the Lakers.
Yeah.
As L.A. begins the second half of the season, holding on to that 8th and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Only a 2-game lead for that spot. That's back-to-back wins for the Lakers. College wrestling last night. A win for Newman. The Newman wrestlers go on the road and win at Central Missouri 39-9. The Newman wrestling team is ranked number 22 in the nation. JUCO basketball last night for Butler Community College. The women and men on the road at Pratt. The Butler women win at Pratt 57-42. Butler ladies are in first place atop the Jayhawk East, and they are ranked number 20 in the nation with a record of 14-2. After the women got the victory, the Butler men in action at Pratt. And another favorable result for the Grizzlies. Dennis Higgins had the call of the men's game right here last night on KNSS.
Hustle defense by Taylor keeps from getting a layup. Crossover dribble. Fugit drives the lane, kicks it out right corner to Allen. Allen drives right baseline and puts up a left-hand banker up and in. How about that shot by Emmanuel Allen? Allen's got 18. Grizzlies lead is 83-51. 5:17 to go here at the Beaver Dome.
Big win for the Butler Grizzlies, 92-67, as Pratt loses its 8th in a row. First road win in nearly 2 months for the Butler Grizzlies, as they are now 10-6 on the season. They've won 2 of their last 3. Sports with Stephen Ted, KNSS.
8:22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Democrats and the impact of violent illegal immigrants. That's coming up. Stephen Ted in the morning on KNSS.